Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Proudly sponsored by B. Braun, a world-leading provider of healthcare solutions.
Hello, I'm Luke O'Neill, and welcome to my podcast, Show Me the Science, where every week I pick a topic in science that really gets me and interests me and sort of tickles my fancy, if you will. And I really have a great one this week, actually, because I've come across some really interesting things about giraffes. Now, you can't go wrong with giraffes. They're the most magnificent of creatures. And what I'm going to tell you about this week is the science of super animals. Now, what do we mean? All animals are super, aren't they? But some animals are especially talented at doing certain things and have evolved huge skills in terms of detecting prey or sensing things or whatever it might be. And I'm going to give you four or five really good examples. And I'm doing this especially for my producer, Owen. See, I said the word my there. We're great collaborators, you know. He's great for the sound effects. Now, Owen, you can go mad about this one because we're talking elephants, giraffes, we're talking, you know, kangaroos, the whole lot. So let's hope he can find some good noises to go along with this. But it's a lovely topic. I just love this because we love animals, don't we? I mean, the majesty of the animal kingdom is spectacular. And when I was in Trinity as a young student, I almost did zoology. I had all these lectures on different species and all kinds of things. And it really was a huge fascination. I am a biologist. That's my specialty. I eventually became an immunologist. I'm interested in the immune system, which is part of biology. But I almost became, guess what? An expert in aquatic mammals, because I did a huge project on them when I was in college. You know, now we're talking about whales and dolphins and seals, and I thought they were fantastic creatures altogether. So I could well have become a, you never know, an expert on dolphins or whatever it might be, instead of becoming an expert on the immune system. It just shows you the roads we don't take. But I've always loved it, and I keep an eye on it the whole time then. And what I'm going to tell you, I think, is going to be really interesting to you. Because remember, there's so many species, and of course, sculpted by evolution. We know where life came from, and it is all about evolution, natural selection, a random process where something changes and the fittest survive, and then you get the species forming based on this random process of natural selection. It's never targeted. It's not all about getting to us as the most advanced creature at all. We evolved just like every other based on the circumstances that our ancestors were in. And we're see, every time an animal divides, if you will, or procreates, the offspring is slightly different. And you're very different to your brother or sister. You know, your face is different for a start. And maybe there'll be situations where you will survive and they won't because of the prevailing conditions. And then your set of genetic markers pass on. And that's how evolution works. It's a very random process, as I say, in so many ways. And again, when you look at the diversity of life on Earth and all these different animals filling different niches, you know, surviving in all these kinds of ways for millions and millions of years, as I say, they're tailor-made for the environment that we're in. And of course, there's loads of ways to get into this, but the best way was, which animals are the best, the biggest, the fastest, the strongest?
Can it outrun the Flash?
You bet.
Can Superman outrun the Flash?
Sure, why not?
You know, when you're young and you buy the Guinness Book of Records, don't you? Oh, you want to know what's the fastest animal? What's the strongest? You know, us humans, we love bigger, smaller, or whatever it might be. And there's a great league table here. And I'm going to start with the strongest of the animals. Now, the strongest human is Eddie Hall. In 2016, he lifted 1,102 pounds. That's a lot of weight, single human being to lift that, you know, and that was pretty good. But he is nothing compared to the Asian elephant. So the Asian elephant can easily lift huge weights. And guess what? Just with its trunk, it can lift almost what Eddie lifted, just with its trunk. So the elephant's trunk is very, very muscular. There's 150,000 muscle units in an elephant's trunk. It's full of muscle. And why would the elephant have that? Well, it does two things with the trunk, interestingly. First of all, it can spray gallons of water. And that takes muscle power to suck up all the water. And it sprays water for all kinds of reasons. One is hygiene, to squirt things off its back that might be growing there. And that's a good way to wash itself, I suppose. It could be doing it for fun as well, I guess. But the other thing it does, it moves things with its trunk. So it'll lift whole tree trunks, get uprooted, you know. And it does this for nutritional reasons, to get access to food and so on. So the elephant gets the prize for having the strongest trunk, or the strongest muscle, I suppose you might put it. And I'm expecting Owen to get a great elephant sound there. He won't now, just to spite me. Now, second one is kick. Which animal has the strongest kick? Well, a human being, black belt taekwondo master, was measured, and that guy's kick was 136 miles per hour with 2,300 pounds of force. I'm using imperial measurements here. Why not? And that's a lot of kick, let's face it, you know. But again, that's nothing compared to the red kangaroo, which has a massive kick, you know. Now, it's not quite as much as old the Taekwondo master, as he said. But that, of all the animals, after that human kick, the kangaroo gives the biggest kick. So do not get kicked by a kangaroo is the message there. Now, what about bite? Which animal has the strongest bite? Well, it's the saltwater crocodile. Can clamp down its jaws on its prey, 2,000 pounds of pressure, massive. Well ahead of number two on the bite league table, tigers are 331 pounds. Now, tigers are interesting. They have all kinds of traits. But you know, remember we said the lion is the king of the jungle. Remember that? I used to have a nice kid, just Jungle Book. Lions aren't that impressive, really. You know, in many ways, they're frightening for some creatures, of course. But tigers are probably more aggressive than lions. They're not aggressive, but they're more powerful. But the croc has the biggest ever, you know, bite. Now, another strange one, though, I want to mention while I'm at it, is even though the elephant gets the record for having the most muscles and the most powerful muscle in its trunk, another creature, the mantis shrimp, can lift things as well. It can lift 3,000 times its own weight. Isn't that amazing? We humans, how many people can you lift? Maybe one or two. So the mantis shrimp actually probably is up there as well for lifting things. So they're some of the power. They're the power animals, if you will, the strongest and the strongest kick and so on. But let's move into the senses. Now, we have great senses, haven't we? Vision and hearing and so on. We're nothing compared to some of these animals. I mean, the pit viper has a massive range in its visual spectrum. It can detect infrared, for instance. We can't get near infrared with our visual system. Bees can detect ultraviolet light. We can't do that. And of course, bees are looking for flowers and can pick up UV light coming off them. But again, the shrimp, because it can see seven different colours and blend them together into a huge rainbow of colours. Us humans, we've only got three, remember? Red, green and blue. They're the three colours we can detect, and then we mix them to get different colours. But the shrimp is seeing seven. It lives in a very, very colourful world. So that's the sense of vision. And then the vampire bat is a fascination. It can see blood. Now, we can all see blood. It's obviously red, right? But the vampire bat can sense heat coming off blood vessels. And of course, it is a vampire bat. It goes after blood, doesn't it? It can see blood vessels from a long way off in tapirs, cattle, chickens. They're the main creatures that the vampire bat would feed off. And guess where these sensors are? In its nose. So it's basically detecting heat from a long way away. They think it's also sensing some kind of colour as well, probably. It's a combination of the two, because it wouldn't just be heat, obviously. But it's very good at sniffing out, I suppose, hot blood vessels, which it can then feed off, I guess. And then dolphins, they have great echolocators, as we know. Bats can echolocate as well. And the dolphin is almost as good as a machine that we use in hospitals to echolocate or to measure things using echolocation. For example, pregnancy, the ultrasound device is used there to see pregnancy in humans. Dolphins can do that. I'm wondering if dolphins could be trained then to do that instead of a machine in humans. They're probably doing it to sense prey in sand. Okay, so they echolocate into the sand and they can detect its prey there. And they can do it from 300 feet away, which is a long way away. It's a fantastic sense there, this echolocation sense. Bats echolocate as well. It's like sending off a ping and then it bounces back and they can detect it. That's what dolphins and bats do. Bats, the range is 33 feet. So even though we think bats are good at this, dolphins are much better in terms of the range. Now, we can do none of this, remember. We didn't evolve any echolocation. And another great example of this sensing for me is the harbour seal. Now, many animals have whiskers. Cats have them and all sorts. But the harbour seal is the king when it comes to whiskers. It's got 80 on average. And it uses them to sense all kinds of things. At the tip of each whisker, there are 1,500 nerve endings to sense things. And it can detect things from two football fields away using its whiskers. Now, why is it doing that? Well, mainly shoals of fish. So it can sense the movement in the water as a shoal of fish either forms or breaks up using its whiskers. And then it goes after the fish, of course, and can then catch the fish for its dinner. And it's using its whiskers in that way, which is tremendous. Now, a cat, you might think cats are great at this. They have whiskers as well. They have only 200. Nerve endings in each whisker. So again, they're a lot less than the harbour seal. And then one last example before I get to my giraffes. The spiders have all kinds of sensors. Hence Spider-Man. Remember that movie, you know, Spider-Man, he picked up these things from spiders. Spiders have leg hairs that can detect electrical fields. Now, why would a spider want to pick up an electrical field? Well, let's say the atmosphere changes around a spider and becomes positively charged. The spider's leg can detect that, and it releases silk out of its, you know, the webs, they weave webs from silk, and now it flies away. So it's a way for a spider to fly far away when the air, when the weather changes. The positive charge might mean electricity, it might mean rain. Spider senses that, sends out a little strand of silk, spider silk, and now gets blown away in the breeze. And they can go as far as 1,000 miles away. Isn't that incredible? So spiders are among the most distance travelling animals. Squirrels can fly about 300 feet, the flying squirrel. A spider can fly for 1,000 miles just by detecting charge in the air and then flying further and further away. But now, let me get on to my favourite animal.
It's pretty much my favourite animal.
These are majestic creatures, as you know. They've got huge, long necks. I mean, that's obviously the thing they have. And of course, when Europeans first came across them, they went, what the hell is that? They can see them in the distance.
It's some sort of land cow.
They're like relics of the dinosaurs almost. These huge, big, tall-necked creatures are just absolutely mind-blowing. And of course, they're all over. They're in Chad, they're in Niger, they're in Somalia. They're beautiful animals. They're herbivores. They feed off leaves, the acacia. They love that most of all, for example. And zoologists have studied them for a long time because they're such a fascination. A few little facts about them. Are you ready? They live in herds. The females all stick together. And then the males stick together in bachelor herds, they're called. And then one male might emerge from the bachelor herd on the invitation of the female. And then that male will then procreate with multiple females. And that's the way they operate. So it's interesting. The sexes are separate, I guess. Very gregarious. They love hanging out together. The men all like hanging out. And the females all like hanging out together as well. And the males establish a hierarchy, like which one is the alpha male, by a process called necking. Now, we use the word necking for something else, don't we? But it's not that dissimilar, I suppose. But what necking means for giraffes is they bash necks off each other and the strongest neck wins. We think, get this, that's the reason why the long neck evolved. They thought the neck evolved to feed off the high leaves on trees. And there's some evidence for that, that the neck is there to allow the giraffes to reach the upper leaves in their ecological niche. But they think a more important one was this bashing of necks together. Because you can imagine the stronger ones begin to persist. Their genes pass on. The offspring have stronger necks. And gradually we see the neck getting stronger and stronger. And they reckon this began 20 million years ago, by the way, in the ancestors of giraffes who didn't have long necks, or at least not as long a necks as they have now. So gradually we see the necks beginning to evolve and getting longer and longer and longer. What's also interesting is the courtship rituals. The male emits loud coughing noises. Now, I've tried when I was courting myself in my 20s to cough loudly at a prospective partner and they would just run away. It doesn't work for humans if you cough at someone you're trying to get to know. But for the giraffes, they use coughing. The females somehow respond to coughs. And then another a really interesting thing is, guess what the male does? He will drink some of the female's urine.
Excuse me? What did you say?
Isn't that strange? They're doing it to detect whether there's hormones in the urine to say the female is now fertile and receptive in its cycle. Oestrus, we call this. There's no point in the male going to the trouble of clambering up. It's tricky for giraffes to have sex, can you imagine? Clambering up on the back of the female if the female's egg isn't ready. So, a lot of effort. And animals often weigh up the energy used to do something versus the likely outcome. But anyway, they sense things in the giraffe's urine and then off they go. And then the baby giraffe is born. And this is how giraffes operate. It's always a fascination. But the last thing I want to tell you is really interesting. So they eventually got the sequence of the giraffe genome. Now, all our bodies are made of DNA, as I hope you all know by now. And the total content of DNA in each organism is called the genome. The human genome was sequenced. And remember, these are all letters in the code, the recipe to make a human or make a giraffe. The giraffe has 2.9 billion bases, we call them, or beads on a string, if you like, in its genome. We have 3 billion. So our genome is about the same size as a giraffe's. Great analysis of the giraffe genome. How does it differ, say, to a human genome, for instance? And one immediate application was to do with blood pressure. Now, giraffes have very long necks, as I've said. They need massively high blood pressure to pump the blood up that neck into the head and the brain. You know, very powerful hearts. They've doubled the blood pressure of humans. Their hearts beat at 150 beats per minute, whereas humans, 60, 70, 80. So the heart is pumping, 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 very high blood pressure. And they don't die of heart attacks. They seem to be able to sustain this very high blood pressure. And again, the scientists wondered what's in their genome that allows them to maintain this very high blood pressure. And they found a gene, FGFRL1, that was different in the giraffe compared to other creatures who don't have very high blood pressure and long necks. And guess what? That gene makes a protein that allows the giraffe to resist the damaging effects of high blood pressure. Isn't that tremendous? Now, how would this be useful? Well, humans, high blood pressure can be a massively difficult thing in humans. We take medication to lower our blood pressure all the time. What if we could come up with a new way to regulate blood pressure? Now, what the scientists did was really fascinating. They took the gene for FGFRL1 and they modified a similar gene in the mouse. They got mice, right, who now have, if you like, the giraffe version. And guess what? They could not get those mice to have high blood pressure. Those mice were cool as cucumbers. Their blood pressure was absolutely controlled simply by having the giraffe FGFRL1. Strange experiment, isn't it? Take a gene from a giraffe and graft it into a mouse, and now the mouse doesn't get high blood pressure. Who would have thought of that? But they did it for a very serious reason. This could be a way for us to treat high blood pressure in humans. And wouldn't that be a tremendous thing? Because we need new treatments. And not just high blood pressure, heart disease. I mean, what's amazing is the circulatory system in the giraffe is perfect in many ways. They never seem to get heart attacks or cardiovascular disease for these reasons. So again, huge issue with heart problems in humans. Heart failure still is difficult to manage in humans. So again, that research in giraffes might help us get a treatment for humans that might actually treat circulatory diseases of the heart and of high blood pressure. And again, it came from just a fascination with giraffes, like how they're such wonderful, wonderful creatures. And now, as ever, we love them, they love us. We've learned from the giraffe genome perhaps a way to treat circulatory disease and high blood pressure in humans. Again, a great example of us living on this planet together. And it's so important that we conserve all these animals. And as everybody knows now, there's extinctions on the horizon because of climate change. We must keep all these animals for obvious ethical reasons and all sorts. And we can learn so much from them as well, the example being the giraffe. So thanks very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed those little factoids about the animal kingdom. And don't forget to tune in and download my podcast, which is out every Thursday with News Talk. And of course, you can hear me every week with Pat Kenny on News Talk. Thanks for listening.
Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Proudly sponsored by B. Braun. Saluting our frontline heroes for their outstanding commitment to the health of the nation.